Hello and welcome to Hey, Have You Read This? The weekly podcast where we discuss the latest books from the best writers. You are joined by literary publicist Madeline Ryan. Hello. And writer and author Hayley Savark.
Hello.
Today, I'm very excited to say that we are jumping into The Duke and I by Julia Quinn. Just a warning before we begin, this book does touch on dubious consent to sexual acts. Mm-hmm. After enduring two seasons in London, Daphne Bridgerton is no longer naive enough to believe she will be able to marry for love. But is it really too much to hope for a husband for whom she at least has some affection? Her brother's old school friend Simon Bassett, the new Duke of Hastings, has no intention of ever marrying. However, newly returned to England, he finds himself the target of the many marriage-minded society mothers who remain convinced that reformed rakes make the best husbands. To deflect their attention, the handsome Hellraiser proposes to Daphne that they pretend an attachment. In return, his interest in Daphne will ensure she becomes the belle of London society, with suitors beating a path to her door. There's just one problem. Daphne is now in danger of falling for a man who has no intention of making their charade a reality. So, Hayley, have you read this?
Yes, I have. Did I enjoy it? No.
There it is. This is the first time we've disagreed on a book.
Disagreed. I know. This is exciting, actually.
I'm very surprised.
Well, I liked the show. I did enjoy the TV show a lot. The Duke is also damn fine in that show. But the book was different, and I enjoyed aspects of the book, but I did overall, no.
That surprises me so much because as I read it, I thought, wow, this is exactly like the TV show.
I
felt like it was exactly like the TV show, except you were given a little bit more detail about certain things. You were given more, obviously.
I feel like the characters were slightly different as well. Like the Duke was definitely different in the book, don't you reckon?
I thought the Duke was
spot on. I know, like, it's just... Describing him as a rake and stuff. I don't know, like, the Duke, you know... I mean, is he... Yeah. I just didn't like it.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, I thought out of all the characters, he was the most like the TV version.
He didn't stutter, though, in the TV show.
No, that is
so there was little things like that that I was like, this is different.
Do you think maybe we missed it? Do you think maybe arguments at the end we were too busy thinking about the fact that
he's so fine, I
can't be sexually assaulted the man.
Yes, well, there's that.
And not paid attention to the fact that maybe he was stuttering. I don't know, maybe we do need to watch it.
He came across in the show as so confident. So confident. Not that he's not in the book, but like...
No, I think that's what I liked about the book is that the entire TV show pretty much is based from Daphne's perspective.
Yeah.
We're only really... Like, Daphne's the main character. Yes. We're seeing, you know, side stories and stuff, but everything is from Daphne's perspective.
Yeah, so true.
And we view the ruse from Daphne's perspective.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, there's a lot of it is from Simon's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, I really liked, because you did see that he was very vulnerable and you saw that...
Different side to him.
Yeah, and I think I liked, having watched the TV show, I liked being able to see those scenes... Because I felt like the scenes were very similar, but you saw them from a different perspective.
I like my men mysterious. So I really enjoy a slow burn romance, though. And this was as slow burn as possibly could be slow burn.
Yeah.
I was like, my God, it's like watching a candle that never ends.
So you thought that it was a bit too slow?
Yeah, well, in some aspects, I was kind of like, oh, come on, hurry up. Yeah, like, come on. Get on with it. We know where it's going. I mean, God, the TV show gets so explicit towards the end. It's crazy how much that picks up. I was actually quite shocked in the TV show.
I enjoyed that this book is like it's an easy to read version of a period drama.
Absolutely.
Of like you know, like
it's like a modern take on it.
Yeah, like your Jane Austen,
but modern.
Yeah, but a bit more modern and
it's quite funny too.
It's funny and cheeky and witty. I really enjoyed it. I can't believe you didn't. I'm actually devastated.
I'm actually devastated.
I'm hoping that by the end of this,
I'll be like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's okay. I actually, something that you said before we started this was Daphne, you know, in the TV show, I think she's so beautiful and just like she is this like almost trophy in a way. You know, she's treated as
she's
such.
She's the jewel of she's the season. She's the jewel.
Whereas, excuse me, in the book, she's not kind of described as that at all. She's plain Jane.
She's very plain Jane. Yes. She's perceived as like... she's like constantly in the friend zone.
Yeah.
She's never seen.
Super surprising.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, she kind of mentions that it might be because she's grown up with brothers. Mm. All of her older siblings are boys, whereas her younger siblings are girls. Well, I have three of them are girls.
Yes, three of them are girls. Which I, don't really, it's, mainly about the men, really.
That's a good point.
It's mainly about the men. Don't really see much the sisters.
No, you don't. Yeah, it's actually funny because, like, I know Hyacinth, and I think there might be another one. I don't know. She doesn't really get much of a mention in the book.
No, they fade.
Or the TV show.
Yeah.
But the Eloise. Eloise in the TV show is a very big part of the TV show, but she's not in the book. Well, she is in the book. I don't mean... She's not in the book.
Yeah,
I mean that she's not a big part of the book.
I wonder what decision that was as well. Because, like...
It does make you wonder.
In the show, though, we don't really follow the brothers that much. We literally follow one brother, you know? Whereas in the book, it's like brother, 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 brother.
Do you know what's funny, though? I feel like we see so much of the three brothers in the book, but we don't get the same side stories that we had in the TV show.
Yeah.
Because, like, in the TV show, you know, one of the brothers is... running around with art folk people. And then one of them is like obsessed with the
opera singer
girl.
Yeah.
And then one of them is obsessed with the opera singer. Like, but we don't hear about that. All we hear about is them wanting to protect Daphne. It's like, Daphne, I must protect you, Daphne. And I'm like, shut up.
She can protect herself. God's sake. Well, actually, no, she can't. No, she can't.
Oh, no!
She doesn't know anything about anything.
She doesn't know anything, but you have to admit, that girl She punched Nigel Burbrook. I'm pretty sure she punches him. She punches Simon, like, three times.
Abusive?
No, not abusive.
I was going to say, no, it's fine.
No, not abusive. I draw the line there.
No, it's fine.
She's tiny.
Yeah.
Delicate.
She does stand up for herself, and barely I liked that in the show as well. Like, she's got that fire in her, and I like that in the book too, because obviously it's a period piece. You expect women to be meek and, like, what's that word we learned?
Demure. That beauty.
Yeah, you expect women to behave like that, and she doesn't, so she doesn't fit that traditional mold, which is why Simon is attracted to her, I think.
I also think I don't want to say there's a lot of violence, but, like, every argument is settled. Oh, like, a punch to the face or a duel or something. So I feel like you can't say it's abusive of Daphne to what any man was doing, but she is delicate. She's and barely leaves a bruise. Herself. So it's not. And also, he deserved it every time he got punched.
Yeah.
Like, there was no other way.
Yeah.
He wasn't listening to her.
Well, he was also, like, I mean, not to... I'm pretty sure everyone's seen the show and everything, but, like, you know, he was a dick to her at the end as well, like, not telling her the truth of how things happen and but her whole family kept secrets from her and everything. Like, she was so in the dark about marriage and everything, you know?
And I feel like you were a bit, like, annoyed at ignorance and, how naive she was to the world. But I definitely understood where she was coming from.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to understand how you would feel if you had absolutely no knowledge of, like, the birds and the bees.
I think you'd feel betrayed. You'd feel very betrayed.
Well, and I don't know if you agree, but I felt like I could understand from the way it was described. I felt like I did understand how Daphne would be feeling.
Yeah.
I didn't think, like, oh my god, piece two and two together, you dumb woman.
Well,
no, I felt like this girl's, like, desperately asking, and she's asking the right questions.
She was
asking heaps of questions, and no one around her was willing to give her the answers.
I think I was so annoyed about it because, like, my mum did that to me in high school.
Oh, no.
Like, didn't tell me, like, what it meant and whatnot, and my boyfriend had to tell me.
Oh,
and so,
no.
like, it was, like, I was getting really annoyed about on her behalf of, like, oh, God, girl, like, just figure it out, for God's sake. Go read a smut book or something, if they exist back then. But, like, to not know how children are made, well, I shouldn't say frame it like that, to not... have that knowledge given to you when you are a wife of, like, this is how babies are made is
and to rely on the men.
Yeah, it's so wrong. And it's it really annoyed me. And, like, obviously that's the way it's written. But then she was manipulative as well in the end, because when she found out, she, like, I felt like it was that kind of, like, her duty as a woman, because she's a woman back then, she is for child rearing. Like, there was no question of, like, do I want children or not? There was no questioning motherhood. It was like, I am having a child.
No. Well, that was her whole purpose in life.
Yeah.
Was
regardless of whether it was Simon or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter if it was Simon. She would have had a child with someone else. That's what annoys me about it. Because I'm like, you don't care about Simon. She cares.
She loved him. She loved him.
She loves her. I should say. I think she still loves him.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think there's just that tension. I don't know. There's just that tension. I think what she did was kind of unforgivable in a way. Like, it's very difficult for him to move past that.
See, I don't.
We do not agree on this book at all.
This is going to be so funny. For anyone who wants to listen to this, this is going to be so interesting. Like,
oh my God.
I feel like we're playing a game of tennis. It's like, thing, like back and forth. You're like, well, I don't agree.
Well, I don't agree with that.
I disagree.
I actually don't agree.
Explain
yourself.
So, okay. So basically, and I think everyone knows that there is a rape scene.
Mm.
And it's like, if you don't know that, like, I don't think it really gives away that much, because, like, when the TV show came out, there was such an uproar about it. I think everyone heard about the fact that, like, should you be publicizing this book? It was kind of like 50 Shades of Grey, because in the book there is a bit of, like, a,
Well, that was done well, so it's, wrong. You know,
dubious consent, as we said in the trigger warnings. Like, that's what it's considered when it's not...
It was the worst clear as day,
black and white.
Worst depiction of BDSM.
And I don't know, like, so when I first watched the TV show, I was like, oh, I don't think I want to read the book if there is this, like, rape scene. Because I think everyone blew it out of proportion.
Mm.
Whereas when I got to the scene, I didn't understand where Daphne was coming from, because obviously you can't just force yourself on someone who is
drunk.
Simon's drunk.
Yeah, very drunk.
Can't control himself. But at first, he's into it.
Mm.
But then...
He's like, stop.
There's non-consensual stuff that happens after that. But I understand...
See, she apologized in the show, though. She didn't apologize in the book. And that's what gets me.
No, but the thing is... Here's the thing. It's so tricky. But I just don't see it as black and white, because... No one, like, she doesn't understand what sex even is.
I know.
Even at this point.
And she feels betrayed, and she's like, feels like no one has told her.
But she doesn't even understand that there are consequences to what she's doing, because she doesn't understand what she's doing.
Exactly.
And I would always, I would say, it's your responsibility. Like, every act has consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But this girl asked the questions. She asked the important questions. She was searching for the information. And no one gave it to her. No one gave her the answers.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's Daphne's fault that she
did that to Simon. Yeah.
Because I don't think it's right. I don't think anyone should do it, especially these days. But you
understand her decision.
But I understand.
Yeah.
I totally understand. And, you know, you even see it, like, Simon's instantly outraged. And I think in the book he shows more outrage than in the TV show. Oh,
absolutely, he does.
And I liked that, because I was like, that's how it should be, you know. Yeah, he's been
so betrayed in that moment. Yeah.
But you can instantly tell Daphne doesn't understand why he's upset.
Yeah.
She's like, why are you this upset? What's happening? And then...
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, almost having a panic attack, and she's just like, why are you not breathing? Like, she she can't comprehend that what she's just done was bad.
Was bad, yeah.
Because she doesn't even understand the act thing itself. She doesn't know that it can be used maliciously.
Yeah.
Whereas men, and here's use another thing.
Use it as power.
Here's another thing, and this is, if the roles were reversed, Simon forced himself on Daphne, that would be perfectly fine, because it's her wifely duty.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to consent to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, back then, obviously.
Yeah.
And so I don't like that there was this huge uproar that Daphne had done this, because...
Takes two to tango.
In those days...
Yeah.
And it's talked about very widely that you can just lay there and have it done to you.
I know.
It's your wifely duty. It's for the man to do. Yeah. And so
I think as well.
Why is there an uproar when if the tables were turned, it would have been perfectly fine? It wouldn't be perfectly fine.
Because when?
But it would have been fine in those days.
Because that was a woman's duty. And yeah. It wasn't a man.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, something about it just, obviously, it's not a great scene to read and it's not right. But I can totally understand why she did it.
Her decision for doing that.
I understand it, and yeah. I understand.
I just want to go back as well. Like you, when you're talking about it, Simon, that crow is so loud. By the way,
magpie season.
There's magpie season. Simon actually, he said to Daphne, "I don't want to be a father," which is not. He said to her, "This is very distinct." He said to her, "I can't be a father."
Yeah.
And what she took that as, he's barren. Like, he cannot make babies.
Yeah.
What he meant is, like, I don't want to be a father because my own father was terrible to me. I don't want to make the same mistakes, blah, blah, blah. So when that happens to Simon, there's that deep betrayal as well of, like, I really don't want this because I don't want to be in this position.
And you took away my choice.
And you took away my choice, which is obviously what the whole, like, rape thing is about, taking away that choice. But like you said, Daphne also does it because she doesn't understand the consequences of what she's doing. She's like, well, I just want to do this and like, damn the consequences. It's like, she doesn't understand how much she hurts him in that moment or anything. Cause like you said, she like, you know, she's really confused about why he's so upset.
She's confused. And I think it's not just her fault. It's not right, but it's not just her fault. The blame lies with everyone around her who refused to tell her.
And yeah, exactly.
The simplest details about it that could have saved this from happening.
And then him, you know, even, you know, him not telling her, like, oh, this is how you get pregnant. And when she directly asks him as well. And
we get a lovely, you'll see.
Yeah, you'll see.
How about you explain to the nice woman, using your words.
Yes, use your words.
When she's so.
She's your wife. Come on.
Yeah, I know, right?
And the reason why he didn't want to tell her, though, is because he didn't want children and he wanted to keep that from her as well, though, you know? Like, and she wanted... I don't know if she wanted kids. I think she just felt like she... Like, this is what gets me as well. Like, did she want children or did she just be like, well, this is my duty as a woman?
I think that's a part of it, but I definitely think that Daphne wanted kids. But I think it was more a question of... Well, she never questioned it because that was her duty. But I think she genuinely loved the concept of raising a family.
Yeah, I think she was looked at it through rose-colored glasses. But it makes me sad how many women in you know, throughout time didn't know how babies were made. Like, didn't know that that's how you, like, your husband...
Something that, like, you know, affects your life so greatly.
Like, how many women had babies and didn't know that that was how they were made?
And it's like, and then they're just like, oh, that's not for women's ears, but you're the one who has to do it? Like,
so that's like, you know, like, back in the day, they didn't want women to learn how to read because they were afraid, you know, like, the whole witchcraft thing. There were no such thing as witches. They weren't women. It was an attack on women.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe they were witches. We don't know.
There wasn't.
Maybe.
It's women.
I'm not saying that all the women who were killed for witchcraft were witches. I'm just saying, maybe. We have a skeptic and a believer.
We are, yes.
So funny, because you're a fantasy...
I'm more of a witch person.
Fanatic. One thing I want to talk about is I liked how much we saw of Daphne's mum.
Yeah, I actually didn't expect that.
Some of it I didn't like. I won't lie.
No.
I
didn't like her at all as a character.
Yeah, she's just so... For a woman who's had 8 children, I think...
You'd think she'd know.
Quite a prude. I don't know if that's, like, a really horrible thing to say.
She's like,
someone,
I'm not going to tell Daphne.
But she's, like, blushing. Oh, God, I couldn't possibly tell you. Giving birth to 8 children.
Meanwhile, I'm giving birth to 8 children.
Yeah, like, you'd think you'd be a bit, you know, desensitized to it, but whatever. But I, straight away, I liked how Daphne doesn't, like, I don't want to say Daphne doesn't love her mum, but there's, like, a very fractured relationship there. Whereas in the show... I think we don't really see that.
No.
Obviously, we do
not at
once
all.
Daphne feels betrayed that she hasn't, she doesn't
know anything about life.
But I think that, like, it's just always, I don't know, they're just always seen as the perfect family.
Yeah.
And there's no rifts going on.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, we see, like, I think it's on the first page, Daphne has to bite her tongue because she knows what her mother's like.
Don't upset your mother.
Yeah, don't upset your mother. And I thought that... Like, I didn't see that in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And another thing I really liked is how, like, cheeky her mum is, Violet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, there's one scene at one of the balls where, like, all the siblings are like, oh my god, like, mum's, like, dragging us around to all the eligible yes. ladies and men and, like, bachelors. And then we cut to, like, a chapter where it's Violet Bridgerton, the mum, yes. where it's her perspective, and she's like, oh, I just spent 15 minutes dragging my kids around to annoy them so that they'd leave me alone. Because they all, like, found a way to run away from her. I, like, laughed out loud. I was like, oh my god. And then it's just
there were funny moments.
There's a chapter where she's just talking about how her kids are so gullible yes. and that, like, of course she knows better than them. She's their mother. Like, she knows exactly how to get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
And it's to, like, parade them around and, like,
and then finally annoy them. Me alone.
Yeah. And then she's like, finally, I can enjoy the party by myself, not my bloody kids.
Mum move.
I loved Mum that. Move, I loved that because I don't think we saw that in the TV too. Show. That was a very, like, integral part that I thought we were missing.
Yeah.
Because in the show, I was very annoyed at the mum. I was like,
yeah, oh, yes.
Yeah, you've literally sent your... Isn't that what Daphne says? Like, you've sent her out to, like, a lamb to be slaughtered, basically. Yeah, like, you've much. Sent her out to the world with...
No skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with no idea.
No idea. Yeah. Well, that's... I didn't like the mum at all.
Even in the book, you didn't...
I like little bits, like the, you know, bits and pieces. But I think, you know, like mother, like daughter, she taught her kids to be quite prudish and rude.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
you really didn't like this book.
Enjoy it. I like the slow burn. I'm a sucker for slow burn. So I did enjoy that. I did enjoy the slow burn part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Slow burn romance is probably my favourite to read.
I really enjoyed the slow burn.
Yeah.
I thought, like, I think I got probably 3/4 of the way through the book and realised that, like, we weren't really up to much. I felt like the TV show was very fast paced.
Very fast, yes.
Compared to
very
this.
Very fast, yeah.
But I got to, you know, 3/4 of the way through and I was like, oh, like, we're not even, like, up to this part or this part or this part. But then I thought, oh, but, like, I don't care. I don't feel like I wasted those first few.
Is it her brother or someone? I can't remember. Mm. Like, her brother catches them in the garden, isn't it? Like,
yes.
With Simon's.
That was a very different scene.
Right? Okay.
That was a very different scene to the TV show.
I was so shocked.
I know.
I was so shocked. So in the show, they just kiss in the garden. Like, barely. It's, like, hardly anything, you know? They're, like, little pash.
Yeah.
And then in the book,
it's like, way more intense.
He's on her boobs.
Yeah.
It's all there. And I'm like, my God. It's all out.
Yeah.
It's all out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is out in the world.
Yeah.
Well and truly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked those. I get why they didn't include that, but I liked
the
surprises
it. I thought it was good.
Where there
yeah.
were little details yeah. that weren't picked up in the TV show.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh, God.
Like, all right. Okay, is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing? So in terms of, the characters and how similar they are to the TV show, obviously I felt that Simon was the most similar.
Yes.
And I felt like Daphne was the most different. They spent very little time in the TV show making her the jewel of the season.
Yeah.
And she was instantly, you know, the it girl.
Yeah.
And every man, like, wanted her. And she just kind of needed the ruse to, like, bump up her status a little
Pretty
bit.
Much.
Just to make her a bit eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, you know, kind of kick the guys into gear and be like, come on, hurry up, or else the Duke's going to snatch her up.
Or else the Duke's going to snatch. And snatch he did.
Snatch he did. But I felt like in the book, we have so much detail about how Daphne isn't like the other girls. And she isn't a jewel.
I hate
she's
this
one of the boys.
So much.
She's, she's not an eligible girl. She's just a friend. No one ever sees her as anything.
Another reason why I really, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no,
I'm like,
go for it.
Another reason why I struggled with this book is because it did give that I'm not like other girls vibe and I just can't deal with that.
Yeah.
I'm not like other girls.
And I felt like that was the most different from the TV show because, we see a few parts from Simon's perspective and Simon is instantly attracted to the fact that Daphne isn't like every other girl.
Oh yeah.
He talks about like, oh, any you know, fair maiden would have swooned by now and would have, you know, carried on and on and on. And then
she's like, well, like, Simon, I am not like other women.
And she's like, so I grew up with three brothers. I grew up. I'm not like all the other girls.
I'm actually a tomboy.
I'm actually a tomboy. Yeah, and like, I don't know, I don't think that I hated that, but I just found it interesting that there was such a contrast to the TV show straight away they're like, jewel of the season, Daphne Bridgerton, you know? Like, I found that funny that it was such a big part of the book and yet they didn't...
Totally, yeah.
I don't know, it didn't...
That's what I had a problem with.
Yeah.
It was, jarring.
Talking about the ruse, another thing that I think they lacked in the TV show... I want to preface this. I loved the TV show.
Yeah, same.
I don't think it's the best thing I've ever seen. No. But I really enjoyed it, and I've rewatched it since. Like, I really enjoyed it. But there were a few details in the book that I was like, why wasn't this included in the TV show? I obviously know they can't include everything.
Yeah.
But, obviously, you know, like, in the blurb, in the synopsis, they talk about this ruse. Daphne and Simon enter into a, what's it called? An attachment. And they pretend to be together.
Yeah.
In the show, we're just kind of told that, like, Daphne just needs to, you know, like I said, bump up her status.
Yeah.
Just get the boys moving quicker to her side. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Simon,
I do apologize for the crows, by the way. It's like six of crows right now.
It really is. And then Simon basically just doesn't want to be bothered by anyone.
No.
But then in the book, we get further elaboration. Obviously, Daphne is never seen as, like, a romantic love interest. She's seen as everyone's friend.
Yes,
platonic. And she's, like, she's a friend to all.
Yeah.
Like, she's friends with a lot of the men who should be courting her but aren't. And it's made out to be a much bigger problem. Like, she's been out, I think that's the term they use, for, like, two seasons prior in society, I guess you call it. And nothing much has happened. Only a couple of nibbles from, like, potential suitors. Nothing much has really happened. And so it's a very desperate proposition. She needs a duke to pay attention to her, to enter into this attachment. Yeah. But that wasn't really relayed on the show. And then for Simon, we got a lot of detail about the fact that all of his, like, friends from university are now married.
Mm-hmm.
And then he is sort of seen as, like, this eligible bachelor to those wives.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks a lot about how he doesn't want to offend the wives, but he also doesn't want to ruin friendships with his friends. With his brother, in order to avoid that entire entanglement, he's going to start, you know, courting Daphne Bridgerton. Yeah, and then those women, he's no longer, you know, desirable by those women. He's like a taken man, basically.
Yes.
But I feel like those were pretty big details, you know, backstories to the decision to enter into the ruse. And I think that would have been good to know in the TV show. I was very, very interested to learn that there was more to the ruse than...
That's true.
And the ruse is the entire plot of the story, so why weren't we given those details?
That's so true, actually. I didn't actually even... Well, I obviously picked up on it, but, like, why would they leave that out? That's actually really weird.
And, you know, like, we've got no clue. We aren't, you know, producers produce a show for Netflix. But, yeah, it did make me wonder.
Yeah. Mm. What decision was that? Anyway, who knows? I'll ask the producer.
So, also carrying on from... I feel like this is just me talking because you...
It's because you liked it and I didn't.
Yeah. speaking of, like, the... characters and which characters translated pretty similarly to the TV show. I hated the way that Penelope Featherington was described.
Oh my god. Yes.
She's literally called unattractive, fat.
Yep. All the things.
Like that I get the part where they say that her dresses don't match her complexion. Like they talked about that in the TV show. But it makes me wonder, like, when you were cast, like, the actress that it was cast as Penelope Featherington, she's a great actress. I know. She's from Derry Girls. I love her. I do not at all think that she is ugly or fat.
Yeah. But it's the same as, like, Nina in Six of Crows. you know, like, she was described as, like, not fat, but, like,
she
bigger.
Was described as beautiful, though.
Yeah.
She was described as larger, but she was described as beautiful. True. And they cast a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
But then with this, I'm like, and how...
I think sometimes you've just got to know your typecast as an actor, as an actress.
But, like, they are so brutal in
this
book.
Well, there's a bully. It's a bullying
There's,
thing.
Like, three pages, and then Simon at one point is, like... Although she's, like, the ugliest of everyone in this ballroom, Penelope Featherington has the nicest eyes, and therefore I'll dance with her if I have to.
Yeah, he, like, takes pity on her.
I was like,
almost.
Ew. And, like, was there need to say, although she is the ugliest girl in the room, couldn't you just say, maybe not
she's
the most
really
attractive,
eyes.
Maybe not the most really. Attractive, or maybe not having any, like, overabundance of, like... beauty. I don't know, but I just feel like
back
you
then
have
that's
to say,
all that mattered though.
I
that was
guess.
All that mattered, you know.
And
status,
I just feel like
obviously.
She's kind of like the joke of the book. It's like, well, at least Daphne, at least you're not Penelope Featherington.
Well, the joke's on everyone else.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Why are you so mean to this girl? And then in the show, she's not at all.
No,
she's seen as like the best Featherington.
Yeah,
the Featheringtons are like, yeah, they're like kind of the tacky family.
Yeah,
in society,
I would say.
And
yeah,
they do
yeah.
dress in like bright colors that don't
match.
Yeah,
well,
don't
match
their complexion.
And whatnot.
But
they can wear what they want. This is the thing.
Exactly.
Okay, it's so judgmental.
And I found that. I mean, I guess maybe they understood how badly she was described in the book, and therefore they decided to sort of change that in the TV show.
I think so.
She's a great character.
Yeah.
She's the nicest character.
Loved her character.
She's
yeah.
sweet, nice. Mm. She has kind eyes, but she's also. She's not perceived to be the ugliest person
in society.
She tries to
fit in so bad, though, as well, like, because she knows, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess, but then it always comes down to, like, her family. Like, her family are the unattractive ones, and not necessarily because of the way they look, but because of their mannerisms,
it's
because
so
of the clothes
the
they wear.
Yeah.
It's
like
know,
that
I
hierarchy
just,
family,
like,
feud thing, like Romeo and Juliet. You know, type of thing, like feud.
Mm.
Feuds between families. Like, it's, like, typical, you know.
Yeah. I just didn't need,
the detail of it?
I didn't need the detail of it. I just thought, wow, this
but
is
supposed
horrible.
But it's supposed
to make
then, you feel horrible.
But imagine
you know?
Being the actress who plays that.
I
they would have read the book, surely. And then imagine reading those parts and being like, wow, I'm portraying the ugliest woman.
I am cast.
It's so mean.
She plays Penelope
I just
very
think
well.
That I think Penelope Featherington in the TV show is a completely different Penelope than in the book.
Completely.
I don't think that translates at all.
No.
I think it's like they literally created a new character.
Mm.
But...
Well, they probably did because they read the book and they were probably sitting around the writer's room and they read it. And
I wonder
they
were if like, they
were like,
no. Ooh, we can't say
no,
that.
Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. Yeah. I don't know. I just, it made me, I think, you know, there's a difference between, like you said, describing Nina and being like, although larger than most girls
although
or something,
larger.
And just being like outright being like too fat for her own good or something or like something
I appreciate novels
like that.
That have ugly people in them though, because it's real life. And like so many novels that I read are just so, they're all full of beautiful people, all full of white people, by the way, and just genuinely like everyone's beautiful, whereas there's very little, like there's two novels I can literally name off the top of my head in the fantasy genre that I've read. One is Uprooted and the other is Master of Crows, where both characters, main characters in those novels are ugly and they are described as ugly, as not beautiful. It doesn't happen very often in novels.
I just think that
everyone's beautiful.
If they were going to run with that story.
I mean, this was done in a derogatory way, though, of like, you know, like she was ugly and that was bad. It was like seen as a negative.
Yes.
Whereas in the other books I've read, it's like she was ugly and that was fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's
not
like.
It's a very different way of framing it. It just didn't sit right with me.
No, it didn't sit right with me either. Another thing to add to the list of things I did not like about this story.
Yeah, much better depiction. The characters just, it's funny, you get a lot more background to Daphne's mum, Daphne and Simon.
Yeah.
But then all the other characters that are mentioned very briefly in the book, you get a lot more background story on them in the TV show, which is an interesting thing because it's normally the other way around.
Normally it's
when
the other
you
way
read
around.
A book, you're normally getting more
detail
on everyone.
Well, Daphne takes the front row seat in the TV show. Like, yeah. 100% yeah. it's Daphne's story.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, it's not really her story. I think it's Simon's story.
It's very much Simon's yeah. story. I mean, I don't even know if I'd say it's 50-50, but it's... We definitely get more.
Yeah, we see Duke a lot more content, of Simon.
More of
yeah.
his background.
See, I like a mysterious man, so I was like,
yeah. I think like know. The first page we open it up and it's talking about Simon's birth.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. So, Hayley, I'm gonna ask this question of you because
you already know
this week is my week to like ask
my
questions.
My week. Okay. Yeah.
But do you have any quotes that you would like to share with the group?
No really standout ones, to be honest.
Straight up, no. I'd rather not share them. Thank you.
I didn't like it. No, there was like I can't.
It's not for me.
I accidentally deleted my notes on this, so
accidentally.
Accidentally,
very
I was like,
convenient.
Oh, put that in the trash can.
Yeah, throw that in the trash can.
But there
never
was
want to
a
think
quote.
About it again.
There was a quote though that not necessarily a quote, but you know, like when she's talking, I really felt for Daphne when she said along the lines of the Duke would rather die than marry me in this duel that he was about to like go into.
Mm.
He could have just married her, but no, instead he was going to duel this person. Yeah. And I liked that quote because I think it said a lot about that Daphne was quite hurt by that, you know, because she's quite
would be. He's choosing
yeah, but
death
I know,
over marriage.
I'm marrying you. Like, and so she feels really hurt by this, but like it's, you know, she's such a prideful woman that it was like it hurt her ego more than her feelings, I think, sometimes.
Well, yeah, and, you know, that probably follows on from the fact that she is seen as undesirable by boys.
But,
and then, you know, she's finally found this one guy. And,
that maybe likes her.
Yeah, and, like, you know, it's like the synopsis said, like, the whole time she knows what the ruse is. She agreed to the ruse, but there is that part of her that's like, I can convince him to marry me.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
of
but
course.
Maybe if I do this, he'll marry me. Maybe
and he's
do
fighting
this.
His own feelings as well, because he likes her too.
Yeah,
so
but
there's that.
His stubbornness is a bit stronger, would we say?
Yeah, yeah. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, you go with your quotes, considering you liked the novel.
Yes, it is only fair that I share a few of mine. I might
like what you read.
I'm going to share... So, if you've watched the TV show, you would know that Daphne lands a very nice right hook on A1, Nigel Burbrook.
Nigel?
In the garden, because he's being very ungentlemanly.
That's a nice way of
putting it. I'm a bit lost for words because he's quite the dick, especially in the book. It's like,
you are, sir, quite the
you
dick.
You just keep turning the page and you're like, oh my God, like, surely she's going to hit him soon, right? Like, it's going to happen.
Women couldn't hit back then, though.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. That's the other thing. I was actually really surprised at the amount of, like, time she hit a man because I'm like, girl, you are going to die.
Yes, I know.
You are going to die.
Yeah. But then I guess, like, yeah, respect for women, they would never hit back, I guess.
No, I feel like they would have.
Do you think so?
You would beat your
but
wife
not,
to
not,
like...
But I don't think in high society you would. I think if that was...
Oh,
I think women, virtuous women, were seen as, you know...
Only if they did what they're told.
She probably relied heavily on her brothers to protect her,
yes.
though.
Well, yeah. That's why she did it, I would say. Anyway, read
the
quote.
So in the TV show, we see this scene where Daphne, like, you know, hits Nigel. We see that from Daphne's perspective. And I don't think we really know that the Duke is there. We kind of see him, like, walking past. And I think this is when they first get introduced.
Yes, yes.
In the TV show. We see him kind of walk past and he sees Daphne shouting and he, like, turns to, you know, help her. But in the book, he's there for quite a while and he's like, oh, do we need to save this bloody damsel? Like,
ugh.
God. And so he's, like, waiting and he's, like, listening to the tone of their voices and then he, like, comes a bit closer. And I liked this scene because I think it's done so differently to the typical heroic, you know, gotta go save the girl.
Oh, yeah,
damsel
yeah.
in distress.
Damsel in distress, yeah, yeah.
Scene.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to share this.
Yeah.
Simon turned around groaning. It looked like he was going to have to rescue the chit after all. He strode back into the hall, putting his sternest, most dukish expression on his face. The words, "I believe the lady asked you to stop," rested on the tip of his tongue. But it seemed that he wasn't fated to play the hero tonight after all, because before he could make a sound, the young lady pulled back her right arm and landed a surprisingly effective punch squarely on Nigel's jaw. like, Is that, I read that and I was like, oh my God, I love this. Like, I love this. And well, the fact that it was like, the fact that he was like preparing, he was like puffing out his chest. He was like going over the line in his head. Excuse me, I believe the lady
said no. Yeah.
Like, I just love that he was preparing for that. Because it makes me think, do guys prepare for that? Like, you never hear that sort of, you never hear that written though, that like internal
dialogue.
Yeah. Before they're about to do something like that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, for her to just be like, no. And like taking control. And that's the first time we see that like Daphne Bridgerton does not take any shit from anyone.
True.
Especially men. And it probably comes from the fact that she has 8 siblings all to back her up and her mum would back her up as well.
Yeah.
But like she is an independent woman.
Yeah. And it, because she's a Bridgerton as well, like she has got that protection there. Like if word got out that Nigel tried to deflower her or was
very aggressive word.
Very aggressive word.
Don't know
but
how
like
feel about
word
that.
Got out that he even tried to lay a hand on her, let's say that. If he tried to lay a hand on her, then it, all hell would have ran loose on Nigel because she's a Bridgerton, she's in the higher society. But if word got out that he was punched by her, then well, that's different because he would be very ashamed of that.
Oh yeah.
So he there was his woman. Pride, you know, at stake there. Yeah.
So my second quote that I want to share, which I just thought was like a really lovely moment and one that I don't think we really saw. It's about Daphne's relationship with her mother. And basically when Simon and Daphne have started this ruse, he brings flowers, and Daphne assumes they're for her, but they're actually for his mum. For her mum. For Violet.
Yeah, for Violet, yeah.
Violet blinked rapidly, and Daphne noticed that there were actually tears in her mother's eyes. No one ever gave her flowers, she realised. At least not since her father had died 10 years earlier. Violet was such a mother, Daphne had forgotten that she was a woman as well.
Aww.
That made me like, I was like, oh my God, like it makes you think about your own mum and you're like, oh my God, I should grab my flowers for my mum. I just thought that was
your mum's a woman?
Not just a mother?
Your mum's not just a mother? What do you mean?
She has feelings. I really liked that though, because I do think it humanized Violet more because you do, you know, going into it, you think, I don't like Violet. Why would you not tell your, just speak to your daughter, communicate with your daughter.
So many things though.
Yeah, like, I just thought it was really... It was just this nice, sweet realisation from Daphne. Yeah. Especially because, like...
Well, we don't see our mothers as women.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think Daphne, because she's, like, the oldest daughter, she's obviously getting, like, married off first. Yes. Before the boys. The boys don't have
she
to do
that. She can't be an old spinster. None of that.
And so I think, like, Daphne's the main character in her own story.
Yes.
But this is the first time we see Daphne...
Realise she's not the main character.
Realise there's other people and other people's feelings. And, you know, her mum's been obsessed with getting her married off. That it's like... And, you know, Daphne doesn't want to get married. Like, and Daphne's just been, like, moaning and groaning without realising her mum's putting in so much effort. And her mum is a woman as well.
Yes.
Not just a mother. Yes. Even though she does all that
Daphne,
stuff.
Daphne, yes. It's not all about you.
Yes, it's not all about you, Daphne.
She thinks it is.
Although it kind of is, but it's not.
Is it me? Am I the drama?
Am I the drama? So, my last...
Oh my God, she's got 3 quotes.
My last
For the love of God.
I don't think I've had, like, under 3 quotes ever. So, Simon and Daphne's first kiss.
Oh, yes. Okay, go on. I know what it is.
Okay. so there's like, you know, obviously, they're not allowed to kiss because they're, that's, like...
You know. Scandalous.
It's scandalous. Mm-hmm. You're taking
married.
Away a woman's virtue. Yeah. And if you're kissing her, you're probably
ridiculous.
By yourself.
Ridiculous, by
it's
the way.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
Like,
I
can't even kiss someone. Like,
I know.
How times have changed.
Yeah, and so, like, if you are kissing, you know, someone, it means that you're alone. And you're not supposed to be alone because if you're alone, it may be insinuated that you're not... You're doing a lot more than kissing.
Yeah.
And rumours, you know, spark, you know. You know, it's catastrophic if there's massive rumours going around.
Yes, yes.
So they can't kiss. So we have all this sexual tension and it's
slow, the slowest burn that ever slowed.
But it's good. And I know you don't like it, but I
love
the slow burn.
No, I like slow burns. I like it.
I loved it. So they're having this big, I don't know. It's like, it's this big moment.
Moment.
A moment. And it's like, will they, won't they? And then this happens.
It drags out. This is over halfway through the book, by the way.
His fingers loosened slightly around her wrist, but then they tugged, pulling her along with him as he stepped behind a tall, elaborately carved hedge. He whispered her name, touched her cheek, her eyes widened, lips parted, and in the end, it was inevitable. Like, what a way to talk about someone's first kiss. I was like, oh my god. Like, it's so romantic and it's so good. I don't read books like this often.
You need to read more romance. Yeah, I know. It's so good for you.
Yeah. Oh my god. I was like, I just love how you can talk about something like a kiss and not actually talk about the kiss itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just, oh.
You wait till she reads other things, everyone.
I love that warranted a snort from you as well.
Wait till she finds out about other things.
Yeah. So look, overall, I would probably give this 4 stars.
Wow.
I feel terrible. Yeah, I know. You don't share that same thought. I don't. But I really liked it.
Yeah, no, look. I liked the romance. I liked how romantic it was. Mm. I love romance books. Mm. I always will. Mm. And I love that it was like a old period romance, slow burn kind of thing. But it wasn't the type of romance that I would normally read, indulge in. And fair enough.
You're allowed to not like it as much as I don't like that. That's fine.
I had issues with things. Nothing, I have to preface this with saying it's nothing to do with the writing though. Like Julia Quinn.
I really enjoyed the writing. That's a good thing to bring up. Yeah. I don't think I wouldn't rant and rave about her writing. No. It was no, like.
Oh, it's simple. It's a simple.
You know, it wasn't Invisible Life of Addie LaRue poems. You're just, it's just poetry.
Yeah.
But I found it so easy to read. I didn't think it was overly descriptive, even though I found myself towards the end being like, oh my god, we still haven't gotten to this.
I know.
And this part and this part. I didn't feel like I was dragged along for
a long time.
For a long time. I didn't think that it was too long or drawn out.
If you like the really romantic appropriate kind of romance of like gentleman lady swooning, you know, kind of courting that kind of thing, then you're gonna love a book like that.
I think it was easy to read Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, yes. That's the perfect way to describe
easy
it.
To read easy read Pride and Prejudice.
But, and it had that kind of feel to it where it was that old romanticism of courting. I really like courting books as well. I think they're super romantic. Mm. I like it when the man chases the woman. I really enjoy that. Mm. I don't like when the woman is, trying to be all, alpha and all that. I don't enjoy that. Mm. Okay. So I have a very particular taste when it comes to romance books.
Very interesting.
That's what I liked about that. But, so to preface, this has nothing to do with the writing or anything. It's written very simply. However,
I just didn't
like it. I had trouble with the characters. I had trouble with the decisions. Comparing it to the TV show, I actually think I liked the TV show more than the book, which never has happened in the history of time.
I'm so flabbergasted, gobsmacked. Because I came here today and thinking you were like, what did you think? And I was like, I liked it. I really liked it. And you were like, I hated it. I physically cannot understand how someone could, hate this book.
I just didn't like it.
I just thought it was an easy, sweet romance book. Mm. And I thought, I talked about the TV show, it's different in a lot of parts.
Yeah, yeah.
In a lot of aspects. But I feel like the core of the TV show and the book were the same.
Yes.
And I think the, vibe was the same.
The vibes.
The vibes. They were the same.
Yeah,
I feel although we were given different details and some things could have been better, some things could have maybe been left out.
Yeah.
I think that essentially I read this like I was watching the TV show, except I was given a little bit more detail in some part. Mm. And, some parts kind of some parts weren't included.
To be honest, the TV show kind of got boring towards the end for me as well. The last couple of episodes, I was like, oh my god. Because I lose, this is so weird, but I lose interest when people are together. It's like Outlander. As soon as they get together,
I want to throw this book at your face. I actually throw it at your face.
They're together now. Who cares? there's certain tropes that I'm just I've read them 1,000 times before in other books. So it's nothing new. It's nothing spectacular. I think there are other romantic books out there that are much more superior than this. And so
that's my piece. You're entitled to your opinion.
However, you're wrong.
However, I strongly disagree. And I think you should leave.
Okay. I've been kicked off the podcast every
next week. It'll just be me. Hayley's no longer with us.
You're talking about Madeline Ryan and no yeah, one else.
And no one else, that's
and
all.
And no one else.
Just me.
Just me.
Just me. Yeah, look, I really liked it. I thought it was great and I really liked the TV show and it makes me sad that you didn't
Do
like
you
it,
think that there'll be a second TV show? Like a season two, sorry.
They are filming a season two are they? Right okay, now. Well, I did not know. So, yeah, so like the next book is all about Anthony Bridgerton.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
so this is like Daphne's story has pretty much ended. She does feature in the next one a little bit.
See what I mean? But like, so she's got a happily ever after. Bye.
Yeah, so like the way Julia Quinn wrote them is that every book follows a different Bridgerton sibling. Child.
Yes.
Yeah, sibling. And so the next one's Anthony, and he has to marry, and I'm so excited for it. Mm. And I think, like, I'm going to read the next one.
I wonder.
You probably won't, I'm going to read the next one.
I might actually, like...
I think it might be different. Yeah, the different ones. From like
I probably will because like you know my issues with this book was like how naive Daphne was and everything. I was like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, we're certainly not going to get that from the Viscount.
Definitely not.
Viscount Bridgerton.
No, none of that.
Yeah.
No innocence in here on how babies are made.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah. So I'm very excited to see that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that brings us to the next our final.
Segment,
that's the word for our podcast, which is, hey, do you know this word? We don't do it every week, but this week there were quite a few words that I thought we could discuss, but the most prevalent one is rakish, which is very much used to describe Mr. Simon Bassett, the Duke of Hastings. Now, Hayley, would you please, before I give the actual description of the definition of this word, can you please tell me what you think rakish means?
Well, rakish, for me... I know I'm wrong.
The Collins Dictionary.
In Hayley's world of rakish, I think that rakish means tall and thin.
You're AKA rakish. Built like
you're
a rake
rakish.
Is what
yeah,
you just
you're
said.
Built
you...
like a rake.
Hayley leant over to me before and was like, it means you look
it
like a rake,
rake.
Right?
Like, how can
and
you
I was like, look, I know that I don't know the exact
Apparently,
definition of
I'm
this,
wrong.
But I'm pretty sure that's not it.
What is the actual definition?
So, I knew that it, like, when it's one of those words where you read it in a sentence and it works, and I thought that it meant, like, yeah, like a man about town, like a...
How did you get that definition?
Because that's how he was described.
But you
like,
don't,
he was...
From rakish, I get tall and thin.
I don't know. When I hear, like, rakish, I just...
Like a rakish, like rakish
I just
man.
Saw him as, like...
He's rakish.
He has a bad reputation.
Okay.
And then, but I... That's just the vibe I got, but I probably wouldn't be able to put it into words. But
alas,
I was kind of similar. Mm. Like I was kind of on the.
I wasn't, obviously.
No, you couldn't have been further from that. Okay, so the definition of rakish. To clear it up for everyone.
For everyone.
Is having or displaying a dashing, jaunty, or slightly disreputable quality or appearance, i.e. Yeah, he was a bit of a floozy, slept around, he
appearance,
had...
Appearance, though. It can still be...
But it's
tall
like...
Tall and thin.
No, but it's like...
No, Hayley.
It's like a dashing, jaunty, or slightly disreputable quality or appearance. I don't think I don't think it's saying that he's thin. It's saying that he, like, is a bad boy.
Can you look at that part there that says, what is a rakish man?
A dashing ladies' man or a streamlined ship.
Okay. From the fusing of rake and ish. Okay. Well, there you go. Stylishly handsome and prone to be saucy.
Prone to saucy fast behavior.
Saucy.
That's the vibe I got. He was like
a
bad
saucy,
boy and
bad
saucy.
Man.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
a bad boy.
In the TV show when he's like, do you touch yourself? And everyone, I think every woman in Australia
was like and she's like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
But
I'm a tomboy. What do you mean?
You're going to have to explain
you're
it better than that.
Sarah, you're going to have to explain it. In fact, show
gosh.
Me, Simon.
Yeah. We don't even get that in the book. We don't get like a...
No, we don't.
Though. You know?
Yeah.
He doesn't even give her that. He doesn't... Because in
the
TV show, he's like, go home and figure it out for yourself. Like, he gives her like a homework experiment, basically.
Her, when he sees her, he's like, did you do it? And
yes.
She's like... Yeah.
We don't even get that
no,
in the book, though.
No, exactly.
He doesn't give her anything.
I
he doesn't
know.
Even give her the opportunity
it's
to figure it out.
It's the slowest burn that's ever slowed.
Anyways.
Anyway, look. That's the end.
Look.
Bye.
This has been the most, like, aggressive and chaotic podcast I think we've done to date.
I'm actually really glad that we disagree on a book because I think it's added a new dynamic. Yeah,
I'm just very surprised. I thought it would be, like, a fantasy book and I wouldn't like it and you would.
No.
Boy, was I wrong. No. Anyways. Well, look, that brings us to the end. If you're still here after all of that arguing back and forth,
and
chaos,
the crows in the background.
The crows in the background. Yeah, you can tell that we're in Australia. God. Well, look, thank you for being here, though.
Thank you very
much. We appreciate it so much. If you enjoyed this episode, it would be great if you could leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And please come back next week. It's going to be really fun.
Yes.
We are...
Especially you, Steve.
I love that we're giving little shout-outs to, like... certain people that we know listen to the podcast. Anyways, so next week we're going to be diving into a fantasy, which you should like.
Ah, yes, I know
exactly. A Darker Shade of Magic by B.E. Schwab.
Who we've read a book by this year.
Yes,
as well.
So we already read The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue and loved it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, I have heard bits and pieces about this book and I'm not 100% sure if I'll like
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, all right.
But the thing is, like, I've heard synopsis from other books that they've written. From other books that they've written, and they sound a bit more interesting, a bit more my type than this one. So I don't know, but I'm going to have an open
mind.
Give it a go.
It's not my favourite fantasy, give it a go.
Yeah, we'll see. Cool. Well, yeah, please join us. It would be great if we could have your presence.
Yeah. All right.
Farewell, everyone. We'll see you there. Bye.